Okay. So this morning, I just thought we would kind of maybe just discuss a little bit about what I was thinking about, and then kind of get some input as far as, you know, if this sounds interesting to you guys, and what are some, you know, maybe some areas that you want to focus on. Bulletins. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Just need a couple of them. Thank you very much. I think they have a college age class. They don't have a title because he asked me for a title and I gave him one on the spot and it was dumb. So I'm glad they don't have that. We can decide on our own title if we want one. But anyway, so my whole idea here and what I've been learning from this book is just that, we believe, I take it pretty much just that we all believe in God, obviously. But sometimes, and I'm sure all of us have gone through times of doubt or times of, when it's hard, when it seems hard to relate to a God that's so powerful, but also so invisible, in the sense that he's not like you and me where, I can talk to Bradley, I can, see Bradley, I can, hear Bradley, all that kind of stuff, but I can't really, have the same kind of relationship. So what I've been learning just in here is just he talks about how, some of that is okay, and that we need to be able to have a broader view of our relationship with God, and and things like doubt and things like questioning are part of that. And I think it seems to me that a lot of times, especially maybe as we grow up in like Sunday school or we grow up kind of in high school, whatever, we try to have all the answers. We try to put everything together so that it makes sense, and then we can go out and we can tell everybody, this is how it is, or this is why this happens, and this is why this happens. And really, we don't know. There's lots of things. One of the questions he deals with in the book is, people that say, why do good things happen, or why do bad things happen to good people, And this whole idea of if you're a believer in Christ and you try to follow him, why do bad things happen? And then, it seems like a lot of times when people are in those situations, they ask that question, and their faith in God is shaken.
Well, I hate to interrupt you, but
yeah, Bob.
I'm having trouble getting my breath. I don't know what's wrong. I just can't figure out what's wrong.
Okay. I think if you just take deep breaths or if you need to...
Well, I keep feeling like I'm going to die, like when I pass out.
Well, I don't think so.
Yeah, I can drink some water.
There's a water fountain right across the hall there. Maybe you just go get a drink of water. Hey, AJ, come on, have a seat.
Oh, it's the other way.
Yeah, Judy brought Bob this morning, and I had never met him before, and I'd take him back, but I don't know. I thought this would probably be the best place for him. At least he won't interrupt someone else's class. So, this is a friend of Judy's. Yeah. From. Does that help, Bob?
No.
Well, I think if you just sit. Don't try to sit there, Bob. Sit in your seat right there.
Okay.
Sit right there in that seat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
You feel bad.
You couldn't take me home, could you?
Well, this isn't the best time for me to take you home, but
Well, I'm starting to get dizzy and everything.
He's at the home of Judy. Do you know where Judy Cornelius is?
Is that I have been
St. Elizabeth's. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think who else could what? But you don't know where it is. I don't want you to. Do you know where the old cathedral is? On Lindell? Right behind that. It's literally.
Well, I'm starting to feel better. Maybe I can hang in there.
Well, we got a long way to go, Bob.
Yeah.
I don't. If you need to go home, we'll be happy to get you home because you're gonna have to be here quite a bit longer, a couple more hours.
Yeah.
They
don't have. Maybe I'm just lightheaded because I hadn't eaten anything this morning. That's possible, I guess. They don't have anything here, do they? They wouldn't have any. They're not bringing donuts or anything in here.
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No.
I got a machine downstairs? Well, maybe a donut would help or Okay.
I don't either, but...
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I might just take deep breaths. Okay. So...
I guess I could walk down there with him.
You walk down there with him? Okay, why don't you do that, bud? Make sure you don't let him lose you. Just walk down. Sorry, guys. Like I said, I'd never met him before, and he certainly won't be coming anymore. And he apparently isn't as well as he first seemed when he got in my car this morning. So, anyway, we'll get a good tape out of this. Anyway, back to where. Good thing I didn't have a whole lot of real structured things planned, because it wouldn't. Today would have been a good time to start all that. But like I said, so I've been convicted of things in just reading this book and just thinking more about God and how we relate to Him. And I think it's been helpful for me to sort of, you know, think about my own faith walk. But so I think that'll be a good part, hopefully, of this class. It will maybe look at some things that'll help us. But I think another thing that I feel like is really important, especially for you guys, kind of where you are, as far as in most of you are in college or just out or whatever, that a lot of people your age, and even a lot of people that I work with that are, you know, in fact, there's one guy I work with, he says he's going through this right now and he's in his 40s, so it's certainly not limited to that, but are really questioning lots of things about God and are searching and are looking for answers. And and I think this, talking about some of these things and trying to maybe better get a handle on, you know, who is God, and what, and how does He relate to us, and how does He ask us to relate to Him, will help you and help us be able to better communicate with people who are questioning, who are maybe doubting, you know, whether it's the existence of God or how God is, you know, those people that have bad things happen to them, you know, and then they question, well, why could this happen? Why could this? And I think part of all that stems from the fact that. We have to, you know, our relationship with God is based on faith, and it's based on, you know, Hebrews 11:1, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain what we do not see, and you know that's that we can't see God, we can't in a traditional sensory way. So I think, like I said, that's really kind of what the sort of the basis, I think, for what I want us to kind of to start out from is that. Looking at the relationship that God has with His people and has with us, and then kind of exploring and talking about sort of some of the difficulties, some of the challenges that we have when we try to have a daily and ongoing relationship with a God that's definitely not a part of our everyday world in a real obvious sense. So, and then the application of that is for our own lives, to help increase our faith and help us to be more maybe in communion or in a better relationship with the Lord.
Well, I hope you don't mind me eating less.
That'll be fine, Bob, if it makes you feel better. Thanks, soldier.
Okay.
And then also just to be able to help help our friends that are struggling with these questions and be better prepared maybe to share with them experience from our own life, share with them, you know, things from the Word that will help maybe give them some direction and some insight. So, you know, what I hope, again, is that this, you know, my teaching style is not one of necessarily just lecture, especially in this sort of situation. So I don't expect that we're going to every week to come here and just, you know, have some prepared outline or, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm going to have things to talk about, but I want us to just be very open and discuss. And again, part of the reason for this morning was just to kind of get an idea of some, maybe if there were, you know, kind of in that context or kind of within that broad kind of scope, if there were things that in the particular topics or questions or things that you all were thinking about, or that you know people who are struggling with certain issues that would be know that you want to cover and talk about. So so that's sort of what I just thought we would kind of maybe just talk about, some of the sort of direction for where we want to head and what we want to do in the next this quarter for this class. And then too, to see, you know, some of that may be shaped by who comes. I mean, if it's just those of us who sort of, you know, mid-county people, then we, you know, we could kind of go one way. But if there's opportunity for you that have friends that want to come, and because again, a lot of this stuff, and especially a lot of this book, I think is written in a way that addresses, you know, non-believers or people who are struggling as well. And so this could be an opportunity to invite people. I think based on the topic that we're going to be discussing, it's definitely something that would be very applicable to people who aren't believers and who are sort of, you know, in that stage of, you know, what do I believe, or how do I get to know God, and how do I trust? And so I think this would be a great environment to bring people, because I think as we talk about, even though, you know, maybe we have a little bit more grounding in the Bible and in our faith, I think it'll help us to take a real honest look at at where we are with God, and how and each of us will have a different experience and relationship. And I think that'll as we share that, that'll all kind of help us get a better idea of how God relates and how we interact with Him. And then I think with that, we can kind of hopefully develop a richer relationship with Him. So does any of that make sense? I mean, am I communicating that clearly? Or
it makes a lot of sense to me.
Does it?
Yeah.
Good, Bob. Are there any kind of issues related to that that either you personally are interested in, or I mean, as far as, or if things come up with friends or in your own life that regarding faith or regarding, you know, this idea of well, I'll ask this question. I mean, have you ever at any point struggled with, you know, what does this all mean? Why do we believe this Bible? How do I know God's really out there? If God loved me, why would he do this to me, or why would he do this to my family or my friend or whatever? I mean, are those relevant questions, you think? And like I said, especially I think for your, you know, for just this age. I mean, as far as college and young adults, I mean, I think there's lots going on. We're lots of transition, lots of change, with school, with jobs, with relationships and things. And I think so. you know, you're bound to run into it in your own life, and then certainly in the lives of your friends and people around you. So,
I think a big thing that I see is that the world we live in now is want something, there's so many ways to get it that you can get things quickly. You know, if there's a certain CD I want, and I go to the store and I can't find it, I go to another store and I can't find it, and I jump on the internet, and if I want it fast, I can express it, you know. And so I think that makes it even more difficult when we talk about an invisible God, that sometimes you have to wait on for answers.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it even more difficult, I think. They'll just go to some other God or some other religion where people are saying they get a quick answer, a quick fix.
And just in my own personal experience lately, this has really convicted me because I mentioned just a minute ago, I work with an Ethiopian guy actually at work. And he's, you know, he's in his mid-40s. He's an MD, PhD. I mean, he's a very intelligent, very well-educated guy. And, you know, just the other day he was talking to me about how, you know, how do we believe in the Bible? And, you know, or, you know, it just seems like it's just, you know, how do we know somebody just didn't write it and make it up? And, you know, do I really believe that, he was asking himself, do I believe that, you know, that God spoke to these people and that he interacted with them that way? Because I don't see that in my life today. And so, you know, he was just asking lots of questions like that, and although I don't anticipate us focusing a lot on, like, apologetics or evidences why this is true or how do we prove it or whatever, although some of that may come into play. But basically what I had to tell him was, you know, that no, I can't prove to him that the Bible, you know, is is true or is actually fact. I can't prove to him that, you know, Jesus was the Son of God. I can't prove to him that there is a God. You know, I have to believe that. I mean, I think I believe that reasonably. I don't think I believe that just blindly on a whim. But I said, you know, I can't, and no one can prove to you that, you know, all this is you know, absolute fact. And if, you know, and I think that, and as I told him too, that I think that's part of God's design, because, you know, with fact, there's no freedom. I mean, if it's absolutely true and everybody knows it, there's no choice. There's no, you know, and I think God obviously, from the very beginning, wanted us to have a choice. He gave us the free will to decide, and He wants us to freely love Him. And not love him or and honor him because we have to. So some of those concepts just came up in my conversation with my friend at work who says he believes in God, but then, you know, he's struggling with some of the more difficult questions and some of the more faith issues where he really has to sort of just you know, he can find all the evidence in the world, but you've got to make that last leap of faith to believe, you know. I was looking for in 1 Kings something that AJ said. It's where, I think it's 1 Kings, Elijah, you know, he's having a conversation with God, and he tells him, you know, I think, let's see, yeah, maybe this is it. Just a minute. Just a second. This is in 1 Kings 19. It says, "And the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.' The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not on the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not on the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not on the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood on the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty.'" And so, you know, and then God goes on to give him more instruction. But I think what AJ said, you know, we're so used to getting things so instantly, we're so used to everything being so obvious and in our face, and, you know, and clearly, you know, God here, Elijah is similar. I mean, he's in one of those times of doubt. He's in one of those times where, you know, he was sent to bring God's people back, and he's like, they've, you know, they're just desecrating you, they've completely turned to their back, and, you know, what am I, you know, I'm the only one left.
Can I interject something?
Sure.
Bob. Well, what I don't understand is with the Israelites, if each one had his own belief in God, why would they walk away from God so easily if they knew God?
That's a great question, Bob. And I think there was, you know, there was a lot of sin, you know, and there was a lot of other religions and a lot of other gods that people worshipped, and I think...
And they weren't sure, the Israelites themselves mustn't have been sure that their God was the real God then.
Yeah.
Or they wouldn't have walked away, because
sure.
When Moses went up to the mountain and brought the Ten Commandments back down, they were worshiping golden images.
Right.
And so they had moved away from God, and it doesn't make any sense to me that they would do that if each one of them had a close relationship with God, because God says in the Bible that they're my people.
Mm-hmm.
So he must have made himself known to each of them.
I think that's a great point, Bob. I think you're right, and I think that, you know, what God does here, and I think the point I was trying to make is that when even with Elijah, and I think he does this with all of us, you know, he doesn't speak, he's making a point that I'm not always going to, very often I'm going to speak to you not in a huge, big way, like an earthquake or a fire or a tornado, but he speaks in the whisper. He speaks very softly and very, you know, we have to be listening to hear it. And I think part of the problem with the Israelites maybe using that kind of metaphor is that they, you know, they, at points in their history they knew God, but then they stopped listening to him and they stopped hearing him, you know, speak to them and interact with them.
They did it collectively?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they and then because there were other things that filled their insecurities, and you know, if they could make a golden calf, and they could see the golden calf.
Right.
You know, that was there. They could see that. They could worship that. They could lay, you know, food and flowers and things at his feet and say and pray to it, and they could see it. But I think part of the problem that they had and that we have today is that we can't see God the way that we can see other things. And we do the same thing. We build idols. I mean, we all know, I mean, it can come in the form of anything.
Well, as a child, I used to be very close to God. I even taught Sunday school.
Really?
But then I drifted away. So I think that there is a devil in this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think he speaks to us, and I think he has tremendous power. And I think that God brought us here to learn love. And I think that's my problem, that I never really learned love. To me, I felt close to my parents, and I thought I loved them. But actually, I was always afraid that they would die, and I couldn't go on. That's how much I thought I loved them.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it was always painful to love. And I realize now that it's a good feeling to love.
Absolutely.
To love someone is a very good feeling. It makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, all my life, I have felt differently. I don't know why. I don't have any idea, except that Satan got a hold of me and wouldn't let go, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And I think, and again, that's one thing I want us to sort of talk about and focus on is how, you know, because it is so easy to find other things that, because we're human and because we see things with our eye and we hear things with our ear and we, you know, it's easy to let things come in the way and fill that place that should be for God. And you know, we saw the Israelites, and as we saw as God chose to speak to Elijah, it was in a whisper. You know, and there's times he spoke in a burning bush. He's made more visible appearances, but more often than not, he's speaking to people in a whisper. And I think in our lives that occurs in a variety of ways. You know, I think it can come through other people. I think it can come through our, you know, the Spirit within us. But I think the main point is that we have to be tuned into that. You know, and how do we tune into that, and how do we allow that to develop that so that it can sustain us through the times when we're struggling. You know, when there's so many other loud and noisy things around us that try to drown out that whisper. So I think again, like I said, that's some stuff that's been just convicting to me. In my own walk, but then also as I try to minister to other people, because you know the world around us. I mean, this you know, and I work in a scientific field, and so everything's based on proof. Everything's based on, you know, I got to have evidence, and I got to have proof, and then I'll believe it as fact, and then, you know, and we've got to take a completely different approach. I think not completely different. I mean, because I think there are logical, you know, reasons to believe, and there's evidences and things like that, but ultimately, you know, I think it's necessary that we point out that it isn't about, you know, Soldier can preach an incredible sermon or, you know, whatever, but ultimately it can be very convincing. But it's going to come down at the end that people have to believe, you know, on an incomplete, you know, or without absolute knowledge. And so I think, you know, there's just, that's definitely just something that seems very relevant, I think, in our culture today and where we are.
It's not just knowledge. It's not just knowledge either. Understanding before, understanding that. I mean, I can tell you. You explained this to someone. All of us. It was in your Trojan law. You read complete reason to study it, but the study it, don't you first understand it all?
Start realizing how what evidence they build and how much faith it's taken for them to believe what they believe. understand, but you know, we're trying to explain instead of saying, well, okay, what do you believe in? And I had a house in a master's program, and this guy was a biology and environmental engineering major. We were having a discussion, we're walking, it's night class, and we're walking on the campus, and he's basically dissing you for, you can't see God, da 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 da. And so I just did that. I said, well, what do you believe? How do you think you got here? How did everything happen? And he started going into this theory, and basically I said, so a spark, you know, that's what you're saying. So we started with a spark in the sky. And he said, well, yeah. And we just looked up. We looked up and I said, wow. A spark in the sky. That's how it all started. That's how we came. That's how we are. I said, man, you got so much greater faith than I do with that. And he was just dumbfounded because he realized it just kind of hit him that, oh, wow. Everything that he was critiquing me about was, he realized that he's stretching a lot further than I am. But I just wanted him to see that I'm not, it's not a dumb faith.
Right. Oh, sure. Surely not.
And you have to think about what you believe. Everything we learn, you know, all the classes you're taking, there's some faith that the professor is teaching the truth and that the theories are correct. And that, you know, I'm a geology major, and they've changed a bunch of the stuff that I learned. It's wrong. And the theories were wrong. And, you know, so after a while, it's like,
right.
Well, I hate to say anything, but I'm starting to feel worse.
Worse, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what the world's wrong with me.
Your eating didn't help you, huh?
Well, I didn't eat that much, but I just feel like I'm getting dizzy and I'm going to pass out or something. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I felt bad yesterday, but then all of a sudden it passed.
Right.
And today it just seems so strong.
Huh.
And when I got up out of your car and started to walk, I just about passed out.
Right.
It started getting worse. So I don't know if I can hang in there or not.
Well, maybe we should try to find you. We'll get you back home, and that way you can be there. I mean, does that sound like a plan?
Okay.
Because I just hate for you to be miserable for the next...
We only have about 20 more minutes for class.
You think you can hang in for a little bit that long?
I don't know.
Well, let's see. Well, why don't we just and then we'll get you after class is over. We'll get you home.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay. Let me just read. I want to read the preface of this book. A couple paragraphs here. I think it'll sort of Yancey's a little more articulate than perhaps I can be as far as kind of setting a tone or a basis for this study that we do. He says, in one sense, I've been writing this book since the first day I felt a hunger to know God. It seems rather basic, this hunger, but many of the recipes I have followed to fill it have not satisfied. Christians hold out for the bright promise of a personal relationship with God, as if to imply that knowing God works the way a relationship with a human person does. Yet one day a curtain descends, the curtain separating the invisible from the visible, the invisible from the visible. How can I have a personal relationship with a being when I'm never quite sure he's there? Or is there a way I can be sure? I have written this book in a progression from doubt towards faith, which recapitulates my own pilgrimage. For those leery of spirituality or perhaps scarred by bad church experiences, I suggest reading as far as you can, then stopping. It says, I plan a second book to address some more practical issues of the relationship, such as communicating with God. In each case, I'm mindful of C.S. Lewis's comment that we need to be reminded more than instructed. I am, after all, taking up the oldest question in the Christian experience, questions that no doubt troubled Christians in the first century as much as they trouble us in the 21st. So again, it's that whole concept of, how do we have a relationship with a God that we can't see, that we can't feel and sense in a traditional sort of human way all the time. And what I'd like us to do too, I think we do that. I mean, obviously, I think all of us are trying to have a relationship with God. And we may take for granted, or we sort of have some ways that we relate to God that maybe we don't think about all the time. or that we sort of got, most of us have grown up in the church, we sort of, you know, we sort of use them and don't really think about what exactly we're doing or how we're relating or what we sort of use intellectually to make it possible for us to believe or to have that faith and that assurance. So hope, and I want to sort of take a look at that and try to step back a little bit and say, so how do I, you know, how do I reconcile, you know, how do I, you know, have faith in what I can't see and hope for those things that aren't obvious. And I think that'll help strengthen us, and then it'll also allow us to better communicate that to people, you know, that are struggling, that are searching. Because I had to sit there and try to explain to Asnaka, you know what I believe and why, and you know, and I think at some level, and I try to take a very analytical sort of, you know, logical approach for him, because that's just sort of his, where he is. But I think I'm also doing somewhat, if I try to take that too far, I'm doing a disservice, because I'm trying to force my faith to be something that it's not, in that it's not absolute. And then in the end, I think I do more harm, because people are always going to be able to punch holes. They're always going to be able to interject doubt and skepticism into my faith and into my belief structure, so to speak. And I should embrace that, though. I mean, and that's the key, I think, to the whole process, is that there is faith, there is doubt. I'm never going to know, you know, the answers in absolute certainty. And I think we as Christians need to be very open about that. I think we look very hypocritical when we try to have all the answers, when we try to tell people, when we say things like, well, you know, my mom just died, and we're just, when we say things like, well, that's just, you know, that's God's will, or, you know, that, you know, I mean, those kinds of answers, I think, however, I think we sort of interpret them maybe a little bit different than a lot of other people do when they hear that. And I think we need to, I think there's a sensitivity that sometimes we lack in dealing with people in regards to spirituality, and we sort of flippantly say things like, well, God can use this for the good, or, you know, this happened for a reason, or whatever. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, we just don't know. And I think we need to find ways to encourage and strengthen people and lead them to a faith without being too simplistic, you know, without being too, having, you know, the pat answer, sort of the, oh, you know, that's just the way it is, or, you know. And I think that'll also help us be more honest about our own insecurities and fears, but then, again, too, just help us to witness and grow people, you know, closer to God that are around us. So, like I said, I hope, again, you know, this certainly is going to be very, I hope, discussion-oriented, and again, please bring people that, you know, tell people that you normally would be here, obviously, but that aren't here this morning, but then also, you know, I think this would be a great place to bring people who are sort of on the fence, or who maybe haven't been to church in a long time, or have never been, and want to kind of understand a little bit more kind of what's going on. And like I said, as we get into this, I mean, if there's certain questions, I mean, if there's certain areas in your life or in your friends' lives that, you know, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in, you know, certain political or social issues, I mean, I don't want that necessarily to be the focus of the class, but I think applicability and sort of having application for all this is good, so that I think we bring in things that are practical, that we see every day, you know, tough questions that we have to face in regards to faith and in regards to our relationship with God and things. I want you to feel free to do that, and that we can, you know, we can talk about it, and we can look into the scripture.
Well, I think I stepped away from God almost 30 years ago, and I did so many wrong things that I keep feeling that the good Lord is not going to save me, that I'm going to spend eternity in hell, and I think it's too late for me. I believe that God forgives so much, but that if you're as sinful as I was, that the good Lord is not going to forgive me. That He has placed judgment upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a funny feeling once. I was driving a truck, and I had a funny feeling. It rained so heavy that I couldn't see in front of me at all, and it seemed to me like that was Judgment Day, that the Lord had judged everybody on that day.
Mm-hmm.
But then the skies cleared and everything, and it seemed to pass. But I had the funniest feeling when that storm hit that was Judgment Day. So I don't know if that's foolish of me or.
No, I think it's not foolish. What does anybody have anything they want? I mean, say to Bob as far as some of the things he expressed.
Well, I think it's hard to try to put a limit on the how much God can cover. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's hard for us. Like, you can't really go out and say, you know, like God can only forgive this many sins. You know, anything past that, He won't be able to, because you know, He's a powerful being.
Well, I believe
in the relationship. You know, so
yeah.
I mean. Really, it's hard for us to try to limit him. And if you look at Saul, and you look at Saul's life,
yeah.
I mean, he slaughtered hundreds, thousands, however many Christians, you know,
right.
that he killed, and God came to him and forgave him, and he was
right.
He was a servant of God. He was a severe spiritual tool of God's.
Right. Right.
So I think to say that you've committed so many horrible things that it's beyond God's forgiveness,
I knew as a child, in fact, that the parents were supposed to be God's representatives to the children. And I had gotten divorced, and I had changed for some reason. Well, my wife had, she had made me mad. I had a nervous breakdown because she was running around. And I did love her, I guess, very much. But I took it out on my children, and I didn't see them. I stopped seeing them. And that's where I made a mistake, I think, to God, that... if I loved them, I couldn't stay away from them. But for some reason, I did. And it just seems that all my life, evil has been around me. And that I have done things that were not Christian, that were not God-fearing. And now I feel that I'm about to die, and I don't, naturally, I don't want to, and I don't want to go to hell forever. But I believe that nothing can save me anymore. That I've just been too evil. That I've let Satan control me so much and for so long that I won't be forgiven anymore. But I appreciate what you said that God does love us and is concerned about us. And then he does whisper to us. He doesn't yell out loud or anything.
It's kind of like he was talking earlier about having faith. And I think that's part of the faith, is having faith that God will forgive us and that he will wash all our sins away. If we repent, I mean, we have to repent and try and do what is right. And if we don't, then I think that's it. That's when you will, go to hell. But if you repent and you have faith that God will forgive you, then it doesn't matter what you've done in the past.
Well, I believe that too. I think that is true. I just
I think you're on the right track then if you believe that.
Yeah.
Heading in the right direction.
Right, right. I don't know. I keep feeling it's too late for me. Maybe it's because I was so not compassionate and not loving to my fellow man that maybe it's all these things that I keep focusing on that makes me feel that God won't forgive me.
Well, you know, Bob, I think the good news is that I think Scripture is very clear that it's never too late. And you look at, even if you look in the Old Testament, and we talked about the Israelites earlier, look how often, God would do things for them, and they would turn away, and they would follow other gods, and they would curse God and all that. Yet he still came back, and he still loved them, he still, accepted them. And then, then we have the New Testament, and we have, Jesus came, and he died for all of our sins. And we're all surrounded by evil every day, Bob, and we all do bad things too, but God is told us that he's going to save us from that. And that I'll read you perhaps one of the most famous verses in the entire Bible, John 3:16. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned." So, I mean, I think it's clear that God wants us, you know, he's not going to turn his back. We can turn our back on God, but he's not going to turn his back on us.
Right.
And he'll never, we can never escape or do too much to not be covered by God's grace.
Along with that, though, it has to be our choice to turn around and to accept him. He's always reaching out to us, but we have to reach back to him.
I'm sure that makes sense.
The very fact that you think, the very fact that you believe that, you know, too late for me, you know, the very fact seems to indicate that there is still hope. Really?
I think that's a second bell, or is it not? The first or second? First, okay.
There's just one more verse I wanted to read, go along with that. It's in Colossians 2. Right at 13. Oh, sorry. No. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it all away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers of authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I just think that's a very powerful one, because the cross is what did it all. You know, God loved us enough to send his Son to die on that cross. You know, and he made us alive with Christ. And I noticed that you said you were afraid of death, but we're alive with Christ. So that's something you never have to worry about ever again in your life. And just the power that that has of love and of over anything in this world that could possibly be held against you, it pretty much shackled that, and it's in control now. So the cross is controlling your life.
So you think if I die, I'll go to heaven?
I can't tell you.
Right.
But I believe that if you believe with all of your heart, there is a God, and Christ died for you on that cross, and it's very possible.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Right.
If anybody else has any other comments, if not, we'll again next week, and we'll start looking at some specific issues or concepts related to this whole idea of understanding or relating to God. So I think I'm excited. I think, you know, again, if any of you who want to read more about this, I mean, this is a great book, and it would be, I think, a good book. I mean, I've given it to people that are not Christians, who, you know, like for instance, I think our grandma's reading it, or you gave it to her, just because, you know, she's been exposed to this stuff all her life, but she still, you know, has yet to really come to be a believer. And so I think it'd be good for people who are sort of in that, you know, questioning, that kind of phase, or you know, wondering and searching. So again, if you, I think it'd be a worthwhile read if you want to pick it up. But other than that, that's all I have for this morning. So,
what time does church start?
Church starts in about 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
All right. Oh, well, thank you. I forget what day. Is it like... Is it Wednesday?